For wise is the saying we have from of old, that one should not question a verdict, we're told. One says to the wicked, I think you are right. While cursing him, whole nations rise up to fight. That was Proverbs chapter 24, verses 23 and 24, from the Ward Green version of 2004. Our daily scripture for today, little children. In our article, Trojan War, from 2015, by yours truly, chapter 9, paragraph 4, tells us, it's quite a long paragraph, and it tells us that the year 1 of Shawshank the First is aligned. Okay, there's alignments that have to be met with known facts, right? We have to align with the known facts. And there are no other chronologies that align the way ours does. In fact, you try and find the alignments that we have in some other chronology and see whether you can find it. You just don't have it. It doesn't work. No other chronology accounts for all of the different facts that the genealogy does. It is able to account for them all. Or at least, obviously, we don't really account for every possible thing, because we don't know everything, or we don't always, you know, there are always little things that we're not quite certain of. Some facts we're not as certain of, you know, compared to other facts, which we are more certain of. But the year one of Shawshank the First, okay. But I mean, if you've, anyone who studies and tries to use chronology, they'll see how much better the genealogy is in terms of the things it can explain. And ours explains things on a grander scale, like we aligned Pharaoh Merneptah with the Judge Gideon, and we aligned Jephthah in the Bible. The 300 years of Jephthah is perfectly aligned with the crossing of the Jordan. Everything, you know, 1452 compared to 1152. But everything, you know, the Exodus is aligned with the death of the Pharaoh in Egypt. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And the year one of Shawshank the First is aligned because in year 21, he began to build the memorial relief to his campaign. Now, I'm not saying that even, for me even, some of these things are difficult to understand or believe. I'm not saying I believe all of these things as well as every other thing. Some things I believe much more strongly than others, but I believe that the things that can't be changed must be kept the way they are, and therefore we have to find a way to see how the other information works. That's what the crucible is all about. We use the chronology, we don't change it. Once we know that it fits, we don't change it. We have to make it stay the same while we look at the facts that are in evidence. So in year 21, Shawshank is reputed, anyway, according to the Egyptian inscriptions. This is what we believe from, you know, I haven't really in-depth looked at that relief, and certainly I haven't looked at it recently. But, I mean, imagine the amount of work that would need to be done to study in-depth every single thing that's talked about every day, I mean, in this article. It's just a monumental, no pun intended, amount of work. But there's a memorial relief. Let's just try and talk about it in a common, friendly or personal, you know, in a casual conversation type of way. There's a memorial relief that was done by or begun by Shawshank the First. Some people say he never completed it too. So, I mean, that's what many people believe. But in year 21 is when they date it. So if it's year 1 in our chronology, it is 993. So if 993 is correct, 973 would be his year 21, and that's the year when he invaded Judah. So it fits perfectly in our chronology, the year 21, aligning with year 5 of Rehoboam, Solomon in 1017 for 40 years, down to 977, 40 years after 1017. And 4 years after 977 is 973, in the BCE time period, right? So everything is perfect there. And not only that, in year 5 of Shoshenq, there's a record in Egypt of an alignment which is believed to be a WRS feast. And we have it as a lunar day 1, which would fit the WRS feast. Exactly fit. You know, lunar day 1, it doesn't get any better than that. But December 17th, 989 is 4 years after 993, and that fits perfectly also with year 5, counting from 993 down to 989. 4 years and some months from 993 to 989. You know, 9 plus 4 is 13, right? So that's how you get that. Obviously, 3 plus 4 is 7 in the case of Rehoboam. These factors alone, those things alone, strongly favor 991 as year 1, because we align two independent things. One is we align the year 5 of the Bible with the inscription made by the Egyptian king. And the second thing is it also, by doing that, also aligned the year 5 of the Egyptian king in another inscription with, with the lunar, it aligns it with the lunar calendar, right? But also, okay. I mean, it's, in the first case, it was in alignment with the year number, so in our chronology of year 1 of Shoshenq. In the second case, it was aligned with the lunar calendar. So how could it be any better? It's not movable. You can't shift it around anymore. It's so amazing. And then we need to look at something. This is Moses, the article here. I would have been prepared, but I had to reboot several times because of technical issues here, and I couldn't get my microphone working. I had to do that because I wouldn't have had the volume from my backup mic. I wouldn't have got the volume that I'm getting with this one. I've had real problems the past couple of days with trying to get my mic working. But Solomon, Rehoboam, followed by Abijam, and then Asa. Asa is dated 957 here. You could even conceivably see how Asa could be 958 maybe or something. But, I mean, I think we don't have any problem with 957 in this case either. I mean, I don't think 957 is necessarily wrong, but we don't necessarily have these dates precise. I think Abijam ruled 3 years, didn't he, according to the Bible, and Rehoboam was 17 years, Solomon 40 years, so this should be exactly right. You know, unless there's something we don't understand about the Israelite kings, but the way they, you know, did their reckoning. But if we're doing simple reckoning and it works, 957 is what we have. Doing simple reckoning with Nisan 1 as the beginning of each year for each king is the way that we did it. But Osorkon the first is the Zerah, who died in year 14 of King Asa. So knowing 957, 957 minus 13 is 944, right? Again, 7 minus 3 is 4, so, and 5 minus 1 is 4, so you got 957, 944, 13 years, which is the difference between year 1 and year 14. It's a 13-year difference. So 957 minus 13 is 944. That would be the death of Osorkon if he died in year 14 of King Asa. And we base that on the gathering of Asa's year 14 after, in year 15 of Asa, there was a gathering after the battle in which Osorkon died. He's called Zerah in the Bible. We know that from the Ethiopian kings list. The name Zerah is Osorkon. The death of Osorkon I in 944 now determines his year 1, because we have Manetho telling us. Okay, so we've done all these calculations, tremendous amount of work to figure this out, and from Manetho we have 15 years for Osorkon right here. But it's not only that, we've also got it in the Armenian version of Eusebius. There's 15 years of Osorkon Africanus, 15 in Eusebius. Those were the two we just looked at in the other book. This is, I'm thinking of a different name now. Who is this book? Who wrote this? I'm thinking of a different scholar's name. I can't remember the name of this scholar. It's on the tip of my tongue. But Osorkon, 15 years, also in the Armenian version of Eusebius as well. So everybody agrees 15 years for Osorkon here. Now, there are some people who say, wrongly, that all scholars believe that Shishak invaded in a certain year, and that's just nonsense. We don't agree with it. And what's the name of this scholar? Come on. No. Oh, that was Fotheringham. But who's this? Who is this book? Here it is. Who wrote it? Waddell. Yeah, I was thinking of Wardle. Wardle is another name. He's a radiocarbon scientist, but Waddell. Waddell, 1940. That book agrees with the 15 years. It's just another version of Manetho that comes from the Armenian version that we got from Waddell. So 15 years for Osorkon, you just add that back onto 944 at the time of his death, which was 944. So you add 15 to get 959, and that's his year one. But then, based on that, we got an alignment in 957, which is his year three, counting from 959. You know, the BCE years count back again. They always count backwards. 957 is year three, 2 years after 959. And 2 Auk at 14 was the date given for an event that turns out to be lunar day 2 in our chronology. And it was supposed to be an offering to Amun. And we saw before the offerings were only on lunar days 1 and 2, according to Krauss, a priestly induction and an offering. But offerings were only on lunar days 1 and 2. Were they not? So, according to the experts, so therefore lunar day 2 fits with that as for that as well, with year 1 in 959, his year 3, 957, June 1st, 957 BCE, perfect alignment again. That's a priestly induction for Osorkon, who was the son of Shoshenq and the successor of Shoshenq. So everything is absolutely, you know, excellent in our chronology, at least according to those things. Any problems that we have, you know, there are still problems in every chronology of something that old. Obviously, this is before the historical period, you know, which began in around 600 BC. This is a long time ago, even before the beginning of recorded history. I mean, the Romans, for example, they started to record history, you know, and it became much better documented after the time of the beginning of the Roman Empire. But Shoshenq, 21 years and 15 years of Osorkon, everybody agrees on those numbers of years. That was our date for Asa in 957 right here. Maybe I didn't show it big enough. Asa, he began ruling in 957. That's from part 2 of the article Moses in the articles that I wrote. Now, we also had Manetho Waddell. We had Manetho Fotheringham. I probably can't even find. I won't be able to find this again now. It's difficult because I need to get back to what page, where it was here. Can I find it in the table of contents, I wonder? Maybe. Let's see, contents. Yeah, Egyptian chronology. Okay, 115. There we go. This might help us find it quicker. It's somewhere in here. Page is that? 81. Excuse me for this delay. This is, it's not a very long book either. 105. Here we go. Egyptian chronology. Yeah, so it goes Dynasty 4 and so on. 18, 20, 22. Here we go. So Shoshenq, Osorkon, and Takelot, the total we can add up for them, for example, but we just looked at Shawshank and Osorkon, and then his predecessor, Susen, from Dynasty 21. These are the ones we're looking at right here in this paragraph. So 21 and 15, but in Dynasty 21, both versions of the dynasty, Dynasty 21, both of these versions claim they're 130 years for each one, right? Even though one of them only adds up to 114, that is Africanus, his version. I mean, all this has been looked at great length, spending hours and hours looking at it to find out. But, you know, I don't spend hours and hours on things that are simple, you know, but on things where necessary, we spend hours and hours. Yesterday, I found 8 new publications on the radiocarbon, and I found out that they discovered made a major discovery. Hopefully, I'll have time to tell you at the end. A major discovery in 2014 was made in the mines at Kirbet and Nahas in southern Levant, southern Jordan, it's called, in the region of Solomon's Mines, as they're nicknamed affectionately, which is Kirbet and Nahas, the copper mine. They found something amazing, proof of chronology that's just, it's just, you know, it's exciting, very exciting. So let's see. 35 years of the 130 are allocated in Dynasty 21. To Susen in the version of Eusebius, right? He was only allowed 14 in the Africanus version, but that didn't tally. The total didn't tally with what was stated as 130 in that dynasty. So we accept the 35 for Susen, and we've seen it adds up in other ways too. From 980, which was the first solo year of Shawshank, 35 years gives 1015, but we're going to show this in right here anyway, I think. In this calculation coming up here, a very easy calculation. The version of Africanus allows 14, but it only tallies 114, so 16 years short. And it would indicate more for him than 14 then. But we're allowing him 35, based on the other version of Manetho, and the total of the years given by Manetho for the reigns of Susen the second. Nobody else explains any of this. Nobody else. They use Manetho less than we do. They don't have the ability to make their chronologies agree with Manetho the way that ours does. But the total of the years given by Manetho for these three reigns, Susen the second, Shawshank the first, and Osorkon, these three, 35, 21, and 15. On the right-hand column there, for Eusebius, his version of Manetho. 35, 21, and 15 equals 71 years total. 35 and 21 is 56. 56. Did I do this wrong? I did this wrong. You're kidding me. We're going to discover something new. That means, let's see. 15, 21, and 15. It really doesn't matter necessarily. This is a minor thing, possibly, hopefully, because. But if it's not, it doesn't matter because I mean, we can add 35. 35. No, 71. Yeah. 56 and 15 is 71. Okay, it's correct. Oh, I was thinking I forgot to carry the one. Forgot to carry the one there. Or, yeah, that's what I forgot. So anyway, 56 and 15 is 71. I'm sure I checked this at the time 100 times. But there it is. So we got the total 71 years. And then we use that in the next paragraph to do a calculation. 944, the death of Osorkon, gets us back to 1015, which is year one of Susen the second. And that really is a solid number, 1015. Because 35 years after that, he dies at the end of his reign in 980. And 980 is a beautiful position for the beginning of the soul rule of Shoshenq the First, right? 980, instead, whereas he began to co-rule in 993 is what we have. And so we've looked at all these things in great detail. I mean, at the time, 15 years after the turn of the millennium, when this article was written, I looked at all these things, and I've been writing articles. Which number article was this again? I'm trying to remember what article number it was. Let's find out. But that's it for today's study of the article. See, I mean, we're going to get back to these, continue the study, hopefully, and see why that 71 years... Well, we just saw, I just gave you a preview. We're going to see why that is important. But, of course, it's important. Everything's important in the chronology. Susen the Second, his year one's important. The year one of Shoshenq's important. Why is 980 important? Well, because without the 980 soul rule year one of Shoshenq, we wouldn't have year one of Susen in 1015, and nothing else would line up in the previous decades and previous rules of the pharaohs. Everything has to be understood as in alignment. And one of the things that most people fail to do is they fail to account for the co-rule, the co-rulership, which is very common, even though that's denied by many scholars. It was very common in Egypt, extremely common. In fact, maybe it was always the case, but I don't think we could say that every king always co-ruled with another for some period. I don't think that's necessarily true. It was unbelievably, really common. Whether it's believable or not, it was common. So it better be believable. But we know that there are some cases that every scholar agrees where co-rulership did exist. So, I mean, the only issue is, was it very common? And that's where we say, yes, it was, very clearly. And we can show that in so many cases where things tally up. When you do the death-to-death, you get the tally working beautifully. And, you know, you can do death-to-death, which is the same as individual, not co, but individual rulership. When someone dies, the king who's ruling right after the death of a pharaoh is ruling by himself until he appoints a co-ruler. So death-to-death gives us the sole rulership numbers, which are very often the ones recorded by Manetho. That's why we have 35 years for Susen. Now, 1025, but that wasn't the death. See, 1025 wasn't the death of his predecessor, we don't believe. Simon, we believe, died after. Let's see if I can get back to that. Simon died after 1015, but look, he's only given 9 years. And actually, we know Simon ruled 17. Yes, it is death to death. You see that? It's death to death because the 9 years of Simon were just until 1015. And he ruled after. The 9 years of Simon, yeah. They were during the time from 1024 to 1015. But he lived longer than that. And that's why there's only 14 for Susen here. Right, but death to death, this is not, okay, let's see. Yeah, this is not death to death for Simon, because Simon died later. But here, you see, Simon died, he ruled about 17 years or so. We don't really know the total exact number, but at least 17 years we think he ruled, or 16 or 17, because he's got a year 17. And we have this. Therefore, 8 more years, we could add on to 14 here for the co-rulership, for the fact that we could take away that, I should say we could take away 8 years from this 35 and we'd get down to 27 or something, right? But then, if we took away the co-rulership with Shoshenq, which is from 993 to 980, that's 13 more years we could take away, and then we are left with 14 from 27. So you see, it always adds up when you include the co-rulership, and you could figure it out that way. When you account for co-rulership, everything works. When you don't, you can't add things up. So, I mean, co-rulership explains everything. Trojan War was article number 13 in the series that we've been looking at. Now I want to show you this article, if we can get it open here. Is it open already? Yes, it is. It's a beautiful discovery that was made in 2014. There was a headline here or something. What's UC? University of California. Right, San Diego. The University of California, San Diego led team discovers scarab from time of biblical Pharaoh. Thomas E. Levy, he's a scholar we've been referring to many times in his scholarly work, and he discovered a small scarab, and it was the scarab of Shishak, or Shishank, or Shoshank the First of Egypt. They discovered a scarab of Shishak, in other words, or Shoshank. Isn't that brilliant? I mean, and where did they discover it, though, is the important part. They discovered it in this mine, in the copper mines, in Kerbet and Nahas. Or actually Kerbet, the neighboring site, Kerbet Hamra, Ifdan, which is near, very close to Kerbet and Nahas. That's right. It wasn't in the copper mines itself, but it was. But the thing is, I made a realization today. This is the big discovery that they made in 2014. They reported it right away. But unfortunately, it was not Kerbet and Nahas, and unfortunately, it was not discovered in the layers in which they were digging. It was sort of just found on the ground, you know, which is never as good. Right? It's never as good because you wonder how did it get there, and you know, so it wasn't found in context, as they call it. But they discovered this scarab, and the student found it and said, "What is this?" kind of thing. And that's what I think it's talked about in the article, how they discovered it. They're amulets, these scarabs, right? Now, it makes me wonder, today I thought, could it be like an identifying badge? Like the pharaoh's representatives when Shishak came and conquered the nation of Israel, or when he conquered the Levant area, that area in Edom as well, when he conquered that, evidently, which we see he probably did based on the scarab. But if that's evidence of conquest, too, we have to wonder, is it evidence of conquest or not? But if it is, then could these scarabs be like a badge carried by the officials of the pharaoh? I mean, that's something I never thought of. They could be personal or administrative seals. Okay, they could be used to seal letters. That's right. So they could use it. It's a scarab with an engraving. So that they could use it when they seal their letter, write a letter to Pharaoh, they put the wax on it, and while the wax is still hot, they use this scarab to put the seal of the pharaoh on there, so the pharaoh knows who really wrote the letter. That's, I think, what they did. That's what it could be. But it makes you wonder, could it be like a badge they carried to identify themselves also to the other people who were there, who were just the local people? We don't really know what these scarabs were used for, but here they're making an interesting comment about what they could have been used for. And it just made me, just now, this moment, I just thought of the letter. Sealing, they're seals. Of course, that's for letters, right? And things like that. For sealing wax. Or whatever they used to seal letters, that they could use this scarab to give an imprint. It's a remarkable thing, but it was discovered by a student, Ben Volta. "The first day of the expedition," recalled Levy, "I was leading a hiking tour for the undergraduate and graduate students around Fainan. We walked several kilometers to the early Bronze Age copper manufactory at Kerbet Hamra Ifdan." Okay, so that's another copper mine in addition to Kerbet and Nahas. "And I've seen the radiocarbon from this place, Kerbet Hamra Ifdan, in the supplementary information to the article written by Levy." One of the articles had supplementary information. Don't have time to bring it up right now, probably, or maybe I do, but let's see if we have time to find it even. Let's look for the supplementary information for Levy. see if I can get that and bring it up here. Supplementary information. It might take too long to find it. Here it is. Okay. I think this is it here. Supporting information, he calls it. Yeah. It's here it is. Found it. Okay. This is the radiocarbon for this website. Right? And what does it say? It's Rujum Hamra Iftan. Fainan district. The Hamra Iftan, I think, is the identifying name of the city or town. Hamra Iftan. So you see that there's a radiocarbon date from exactly 1000 or 1014, roughly, if you look at this peak of this, the center of the peak here. It's very close to 1014, 10, 20, 20, 40, 60, 80. So 1014 is right about there, here. It's very near the peak, so very near the center of the peak. So there's a radiocarbon date for one of the samples from the time of Solomon, exactly in our chronology from that town. That I wanted to point out. But so they discovered in this place, which is a copper manufactory, he called it also, Kerbet Hamra Iftan. Then Levy nattered on. And Ben came up and showed him a little scarab in his hand and said, "What is this thing?" Ben had seen it and had his eyes peeled to the ground and found it on the surface of the ground. See, it was not found in situ, which would be in the site, in other words, where they were digging. So it wasn't found in context of the layers, but they just found it he just found it apparently on the ground. But the fact that that happened shows that we know if he ruled from 993, which he does in our chronology, that works perfectly with the time of Solomon, just after the founding of the temple, 1014 to 1007 in our chronology was the founding of Solomon's temple. So just like 15 years later, Shishak became pharaoh as a co-ruler. At least, but you know, shortly, and then another 13 years after that, he became sole ruler. So that's it for today's study. It's amazing. August 7th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 2046 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching. Have a wonderful day. It's Live Dusty. This is Cassie saying bye for now. We were studying some part of our article here. What chapter was it? What paragraph was it? 9.5? Got to get back to it here. 9.5 or... Yeah, 9.6 today. Or was it? No, 9.4. Yeah, 9.4. Right, 9.4 and 9.5. That's it. Bye for now.